Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it. Hi, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers podcast. My name is Veronica, and this is my friend and co-host, Jay. Hi, Jay. How you doing?
So I'm the awkward sidekick. Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
You are not the awkward sidekick. You're probably the favorite. Everybody loves you in the comments. They're like, Jay, you're looking like a fit king. Jay, we love you.
Calm down, boys. Calm down.
Oh, my goodness.
Apparently, my milkshake has brought them to the yard.
Apparently so. And there's nothing wrong with that. Today, we are talking about the Law of One, the raw material. The reason is because over the years, I've had a lot of people requesting information on this. I've had a lot of comments asking if I've ever read it, and I had not. I had not ever read it. And so just for the sake of information, I decided to take an honest look at it, give it a serious read, and keep my mind open to see what I thought of it. And since Jay is my awkward sidekick now, he gets to come along for the ride.
Book.
Two thumbs up. But anyway, so that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to do a quick overview. This is not going to be a deep dive. This is not going to be super analytic and deep diving. This is just our thoughts, some notes we jotted down, and our overall impression. Anything to add before we get started?
It was amazing.
Was it? You think?
A long commute to work. So I bought the extended audiobook, and apparently I bought a massive volume. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yours took longer than mine did.
Yeah. So I was putting in hours a day going back and forth listening to it.
Let's start at the beginning. So first of all, if you don't know what this is, there were a group of people, Carla Ruckert, Jim McCarty, and Don Elkins. They figured out that if they put Carla under hypnosis, that she channeled a being named Ra, or a collective named Ra. And so they decided to start recording and transcribing those sessions. And that is what the Ra material is. And my first impression was that it was hard for me to get through because it's redundant. Every sentence, every answer all starts with Ra. And ends with like in service to the one creator, and like it's very redundant. They could have just said, FYI, every single one of these answers started and ended with the same phrase, but we're not going to do that to you. That would have made their reading.
They shared.
Yeah, over and over, like thousands of times. And by the end, my brain was just like, I got stabby from listening to it. It was really irritating. But,
and for fun fact and readers or viewers, it inspired a week or two of any time I would send her a message, I would lead and end with that. I was like, greetings in the love of the one eternal, whatever I was doing that day.
Oh my God, this is facts. Absolutely. Overall, my impression, let's just start with what I thought of it first of all. I don't agree with a lot that was covered. I don't think it resonates with me. I don't believe a lot of it. However, I'm a lover of education. I am a pursuer of education. I am a teacher. if I won the lottery, I would probably just go to college for the rest of my life. I'd be a professional student because just the process of learning for the sake of learning is so important to me and fills my cup. So I'm all for diving into any topic that's new to you, any book that you're not familiar with, any of these things, simply for the sake of educating yourself on what that thing is. And then because knowledge is power and you go forth with knowledge. And how can you really have a good idea of what you think about something if you've never even given it a legitimate read? So I was there for the long term just for the sake of the knowledge. But I have to say that I didn't agree with it too much. But even with that being said, there are a lot of things that I could take away from it that I did agree with and that I did like and that did resonate with me. So we'll go over all those in a little bit. What are your thoughts, Jay?
Well, not too dissimilar to yours. I mean, I always come into things very skeptical and I'm always looking for personal experiences, but there was a lot of information in there, like you said, redundancies. Yeah, I could put myself in the position of the questioners because a lot of times we would ask the same questions over and over because we are very curious beings. And a lot of times we want to see ourselves in greater things. So in some of the chapters that we talk about, volunteers coming or people going to different levels back and forth, and they would consistently ask, am I one of those? Am I one of those? And I get that. I really do. That's something we all do.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So it, a lot of neat information, a lot of redundant information. I take it, you know, just as educational purpose. Until I have set experiences, that's about as far as I'll go with it. Well, we can dive in and really kind of go into our notes if you like.
Yeah. So apparently my friend Jay here is way more organized than I am. He's like, I organized it all. I'm good to go. And I'm like, yeah, mine's just random notes that as I was listening, I would have my notes app open and I was just jot notes down. And so these are all the notes that were like straight off the dome, right onto the page, and they're not organized in any particular matter. So we'll just kind of weed our way through these things and see what we have and see what our thoughts are.
See, I had to come back and do it later. As I was driving, I couldn't write anything down. So later on, I came back and I started looking and thinking and I was reading other people's thoughts. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right. Okay. So why don't you go first? Pick something and we'll talk about it.
So let's start where they start. They, you know, the law of one. Unity is the foundation of existence. And, you know, how all that ties into the book. That was what Ra was trying to teach, you know, the law of one. The entire universe is single, or like singular, unified entity, an expression from the infinite creator.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I do firmly believe in. I think that that's completely on point.
You look at my notes like, that's what confused me a lot of times. They go, love, light, love, learn, teach, learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really wrap my head around that because as you're learning, you're teaching, but you're also teaching and learning.
Yeah, they always say that if you really want to, the one way to learn a subject is to teach it. You never really understand it until you're responsible to teach someone else. And also like in medical school, you know, they'll say like, see one, do one, teach one. Like you need to see it and then do it yourself and then teach. You can't just hold on to the information, like pass it along.
Densities play a very big, important part of this because they were teaching us at a third density to try to get us to a fourth density, a fifth density, and so on and so forth.
So if you guys don't know, the beings that were being channeled, Ra, they are of the density of the law of one, which is sixth density, and they had to come down to the fifth density to transmit this message to humans. So FYI. And I still don't have quite a grip on if they're using the word density interchangeably with dimensions. To me, it seems that way, and that would make sense, but I don't want to assume anything.
Yeah, it was my assumption, but that's about the extent of it. They were just kind of using that terminology.
Right.
They also use the word polarity a lot.
They did. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this book was focused on like time in Egypt and how those beings had originally come to help raise the frequency of Earth. And one of the ways they accomplished that was that at certain places around the world, Egypt being one of those places, they built pyramids. and that the focus of the pyramids was to help channel and funnel these higher frequency energies to the people. And that one of the reasons that they no longer need these now is because people, which I'm assuming is also known as starseeds, is that people are now coming in as higher densities, so we don't need those external tools anymore. Is that what you got from it?
Yeah, I've been told I was pretty dense, so. Partly. And then another part in the book, they talk about a lot of those places. I had wrote down that pyramids were built as tools for healing, initiation, and planetary balance. But over time and shifts, a lot of those are out of alignment and can't be used anymore.
Right.
Also, you have the ones, the wanderers and the starseeds that are coming in to help with that as well.
Right. Yeah. That the pyramids no longer function as that type of tool, even if we wanted them to, because they are out of alignment. Kind of like a piano being out of tune. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really
interesting. Dense people like me.
I like how they said that when they were talking about building the pyramids and like how they moved the rock and the things like that, they were talking about how they would become the rockness. They would shift their frequency and density to the frequency and density of the rock so that they were one, and then they could more easily displace the energy of that rock and get it to split or get it to move or things like that. I thought that was fascinating.
They use the word thought form a lot when doing like the kind of construction, or that it's a thought form.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that resonated with me, because I know that that's a thing. I know it's possible. I mean, what is it called when you can move things? Is it telekinesis?
Telekinesis, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the force.
Either or, tomato, tomato. And I mean, I fully believe in that if you learn how to adjust your frequency to match the frequency of the thing, you're no longer an other, you're the thing, and like you can mess with the movement of it. The other thing is that when you are ascending, your personal frequency is going up, you've been meditating, you are developing your gifts, you're feeling all of these new energies coming in, especially if you're clairsentient, you'll know what I mean. You have trouble handling these energies because they're taking you over. You can feel them so strongly that it's hard to function. And I've talked about this in another video about one of the easiest ways to handle that energy and how to assimilate it is you have to try to find a way to become that energy. It's not something that's happening to you. It's something you are. It's not something you're experiencing. You are now that energy, and this is just the way you feel in everyday life. Unless you experience, it's hard to articulate, but I think it's the same concept that they're talking here, and that really resonated with me.
Figure that out so I can build my own castle. They did talk about meditation, so I mean, you're right on with some of that. It's stillness of mind, helping to transform yourself.
Right. I also liked that when the third person came in and joined their group, all he did was come in and sit in a corner and quietly meditated and beamed her energy of love. And Ross said that these sessions would not have been possible had that third person not joined, because his energetic presence in that session made this possible. And his contribution energetically is what helped boost the session and make this possible, which I think is fascinating. And it's a good reminder to each of us that even if you think you don't matter, even if you think you're not contributing anything, just your presence can significantly change the direction of energy in a space. You're important, even if you think you're not doing anything. So I thought that was great.
That leads me into that whole cycle. During these, they had to have everything right. And Ra would come through and say, I don't remember what all was there, move this altar 2 degrees this way, or
right,
things of that nature. And at some points I found it humorous, and we've discussed it, because then she would come through and channel, the vehicle is hungry. The vehicle needs sex.
The vehicle needs a head rub.
Yeah. The vehicle needs socks. And I'm like, if she orders dinner, I'm going to call this trash. Because it's like, the vehicle could use a medium well steak with a baked potato loaded and rolls. I'm like, oh, here we go.
And some
it didn't
good...
go that far, but I was waiting.
Yeah. One of my notes here says, I like how they talk about the things that need adjusted for the optimal performance of these sessions, like you said. And I like, that's... on one hand, I like that they remind us that even the little things matter. Like if you pay attention to Jamie Butler, whenever she channels, she always wears white because she says any other frequency of color on her body other than that gives her a harder time to channel. Even the little things matter. But then when you pointed that out, I was like, oh my God, that is funny. Because a lot of the things she said, it's like, that's awful convenient. I mean, mm-hmm. they might be serious about it and those things mattered. She's just like, yeah, the channel needs another nap and then some pasta when she wakes up, a hit of LSD and some really good sex. Then we're good to go again.
It didn't say pasta, but it talked about those other things. The vehicle would do well to lay off the LSD.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I have to read this out loud to make sense of it, okay? Sure. We are part of a thought universe, not a material one. You're creating this reality for yourself as a distortion of your true self as entertainment and to further understand polarity and the complete being. So I took this to kind of be like, you're playing a Sims game. You know what I mean? That's like another little version of yourself that's not really your true self, but it's a little distorted version of yourself that you get to play out scenarios with and experience polarity with. That's what we are to our higher selves.
That resonates because I feel that in day-to-day. When I look at a person, you can pick 6-7 different things to say to them and each will adjust how they behave towards you. And that's very Sims.
It's true.
But you had the Raw Collective that was... sending this information and trying to help out, basically to serve the one infinite creator. It was a selfless service, a service for all, but there was a counterforce. The book kept talking about the Orion Group, which was a service to one, service to you. And in listening to this, it really, you know, I really got the vibes of modern Judeo-Christian religion of where you have the one good side and the one not so good side. One that's service to all, one that's service to self. And I'm like, I could feel, or at least in my mind, like I can see how people leaving the church would see this and be like, ooh, familiar patterns.
Yeah.
And kind of draw in.
Right. That was, the Orion part was always a sticking point for me. Like every time it came up, I could energetically feel myself kind of clench and be in resistance to that. And because, you know, every time I'd ask Spomi, I'm like, is it true that like the Orions are a negative force? And he's like, no. I'm like, there's no truth to this. Like, I just feel myself subconsciously. I could just feel myself going, mm-mm. And that usually means that it's not true. And he said no, so I'm not sure. But to your point.
That's what an Orion would say. That's all I'm saying.
But to your point, that makes sense too. That like, if they're not all that way and that it is a polarized group where some are in service to all and some are in service to self, I could see how that could be.
Because we all have both of those in us. And there are times we are service to all, but then there are times we're service to self. And that, it fluctuates. And that's that yin-yang of good and evil in every person. I'm not saying it's all good or evil. It's just the flow of life. It's the human experience.
Right. Exactly.
They pretty much had the Orion group. Like they were spreading misinformation and fear, manipulating political and economic events, promoting division and conflict. I mean, a true adversary, like very devilish.
And there is for certain that force upon the earth, especially right now, but it's always been there.
Yeah.
I think my sticking point was like, are we sure we want to attribute that to the Orions? Because I know several people that are... allegedly Orion star seeds, and you know what I'm saying? That so I don't want to just pin all the dirty stuff on the Orions if that's not accurate. But like you said, there could be polarized versions of each, you know, light and dark, light and shadow of each. So I'm not saying that I don't agree with it. I'm saying that that was just something that stood out to me.
It stood out to me too.
So one of the other things I want to add about the pyramids, they were talking about the law of confusion and how they didn't want people to set them up as gods They do not want people to look at them as gods. They don't want worshipped in that way. They were just worker bees that were here to help and to do their mission. And so they talked about the law of confusion, and they said because they didn't want the people to worship them as any kind of a deity, they purposely put out an energy distortion to make the people think that the pyramid was built versus created. And I thought that that was really interesting.
You did create me my castle. I'll claim I built it.
You need to create me a castle, and I'll claim you built it.
Once they teach me, I'll start building.
Okay. Deal. All right.
Building your gray skull from He-Man.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Okay, I'll take Snake Mountain.
I'll take, like, the Cinderella castle or, like, you know.
The Gorts.
I don't know. We'll have to talk. We'll have to go over the plans.
What are you complaining about? It's free.
Knowing you, you'd put like creepy booby traps in there, or like even do
Hogwarts
something.
Has house ghosts. I mean, but it has right. House elves.
This is
they
why.
Do all the cleaning and cooking.
Well, you know that's true. Okay, all right. So this part I'm going to read it because it was a long note. It says every being contains all things. Kind of ties back into what we were just talking about with like polarized things too. Every being contains all things. So in order to truly grow and to be in alignment with the law of one, you have to not only accept that the things you like about yourself are in you, but you have to find the polar opposite that is within you as well. The polarized version of that thing. So I'm a loving person. I can also be a hateful person. I'm a generous person, but I can also have greedy moments. These kind of things. You have to come to peace with the fact that you have those in there too, and the fact that they exist within you. Then to follow up on that, you also have to do that with every single person that you know or encounter that exists in this world. You have to know that they have all the polarized versions of every single thing within them too, and you have to be peaceful with it. Show patience, not impatience. Completeness exists in every single being, even the ones you don't like. That one, I was like,
what is the human experience? What happens during the duration of your life leads you to use one more than another.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things I've learned on my spiritual journey. Not one of the most important, but it really hit home was that. Every single thing exists in me and everything exists in God. That was a big one.
Whitney Houston covered it when she said, I'm every woman.
Very true.
Actually, that was Chaka Khan first. Sorry.
Yeah. Chaka Khan. So because if God is everything, if God is all things, then God has to be all things. If we're created in the image of God and there are people here who are living in their shadow, that shadow has to be within God too. And that doesn't mean that it's bad. That's not a dig at God or an insult. It's just a picture of completeness. And Christians tend to get very offended by that. Like, how dare you? That's blasphemy. But it's not. And that's not the intention with which it's said. It's that God understands. If God can reach you in your darkest moments and understand what you're going through, that must mean that he can resonate with it because it's in him too.
And that's one way to look at it. But like with this literature and other literatures, it's almost to the point of, he sends everybody out to experience all things
to
gain that knowledge. And so
right.
With our limited density, we see it as good, evil. We can't really distinguish it where it's all things and all things are being learned and all things are being experienced, both good and bad.
Right. So I know that this was a big lesson. Sorry.
Stop that.
Earbud.
No.
Sorry, earbud users. This was a big lesson for me. And it's not that this was new information. It just reinforced it to me. Because especially as we talk about all the time, like in America, we have this very polarized political climate. We have figures out there. You know, cancel culture is at its height right now. Like, you supported that. We are not supporting you.
You didn't make eye contact with her when she was talking. Yeah, I get it. They'll come for you.
Right. And so you have to remember that, like, people, even people that and in personal life, even people that you think really, really wronged you, you have to have some level of human compassion for them, even if they're choosing to live mostly in that shadow part of you, of themselves, I mean. Because the shadow exists in you as well. You just may not be choosing to live there, but it's in you. And one of the things that people always get the shocked face when, like, I'm doing coaching or I'm talking to them, when I say, when they're like, I would never have a lifetime like that. I would never reincarnate like that. And I'm like, but you have. I may not be able to tell the details of it, but I guarantee that you have. We have all been protectors and we've all been rapists. We've all been loving and we've all been murderers. We've all been rich and generous. We've all been rich and greedy. We've been all the things, every one of us. It's just, where at this moment are you choosing to live, in the light or in the shadow?
Keep incarnating in these murder phases. I don't really know why. I hope this life breaks the cycle.
I hope so too. I don't know.
Stab me.
I promise. Buy me tacos. We'll be all good.
Free will. That is the prime directive. Free will is the fundamental principle of the law of one.
It yeah.
One of the themes that was going through it. Non-interference. I mean, this will go into a whole nother. There's a council. Was it Saturn or something of that nature? Trying to keep our free will intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a huge universal law. And this acknowledges that and resonates with that.
Yeah, they start talking about the Confederation and a strict code of non-interference, respecting free will of all beings, allowing us to develop as we develop. And back to you with the pyramids, when they came down to teach, they didn't want to be worshipped, but that kind of backfired a little bit with Egypt. And so, you know, in the books, they talk about they went away for a long time. They didn't come and try again until more recently, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Orions are popping in periodically, but that's a whole different set of chapters where they can sneak in and do stuff. But yeah, the free will is the fundamental law. So that was one of the notes I put down.
Absolutely. And which is an important thing to remember even now, like, you have free will. You have free will in every single area, not only to, like, design your life the way that you want it to, or to enter and or leave relationships with romantic partners or family members or a job. Like, you are not stuck anywhere, and there is never any point in time where you say, you know what, I changed my mind. You can always change your mind because you have free will. Also, on an energetic or spiritual level, you know, people get so worried about, like, being hexed or people sending them negative attachments and things. I mean, that is a real thing. People can do that. But you have free will. You're a sovereign being. You don't have to accept it. You know, send it away.
I really get flashes of those sovereign citizens in the courtrooms being nuts.
Ugh, they're so irritating.
Your laws don't apply to me.
I always get those on my TikTok, like the in the courtroom or when they get pulled over by the cops and they'll hold up, like, their little script on the window. Like, I do not consent to your laws and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my gosh.
Star Seeds on Earth was another one. They referred to them as wanderers, or advanced souls who have volunteered to incarnate on Earth to assist with the transition to fourth density.
Mm-hmm.
And they did have some examples. I don't remember off the top of my head, but like everybody else, they go through that whole forgetful veil and, you know, the challenge to stick to purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely in the star seed phase right now. Have you ever learned anything about some of your starseed origins or, like, the energies you're bringing into this? I have a lot.
I called some of them, but I haven't really focused on them.
You even called some of them?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what? You freaking Pleiadian? You stupid Syrian?
The Centaur one. That's one I've heard.
Oh. I have a lot. I have Arcturian, Pleiadian, Syrian, Lyran. And there was the one, I got it during my Akashic reading. Spomi verified that it's true, but it's something I had never, ever heard of before. What was it?
Uranus?
He's trying to give it to me. I think it starts with a P. Keep trying to tell me, Spomi. I can't get it. Oh, gosh. Oh, well. It'll come to me. Okay, so my note here, I have Ra, prior to having dealings with Earth, was from Venus. They came here on a planetary mission, but the people didn't respond very well to them because they were other. Basically, they built the pyramids and got out of Dodge, is what I wrote. Here's something that I don't know that resonated with me. The whole subterranean people and that being Bigfoot and whatnot are from planet Meldek. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I've seen other, or read other literature talking about subterranean civilizations.
There's no doubt that they're here, that they're, I believe that Bigfoot is here. I believe in the Loch Ness Monster. I believe in Bigfoot. I do believe these things are here. But do you think that they actually are ET beings that are from the planet Meldek?
Didn't they say some of them came from Mars when Mars collapsed and those density beings came here? I don't know. Did they incarnate as us or were they the subterraneans?
I think that it was more a human thing. I honestly can't remember. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, side note, my favorite Bigfoot is the Ohio Grassman. See if you can find him for me.
No, thank you.
You just go out in the forest and scream, OH, he's bound to come out.
So yeah, I'm not sure what I believe about that. I do believe in those things, but I don't know that that resonates with me. But I mean, what do I know? I'm
just descriptions saying, of it, the civilization sounded nice. The cities, a lot of weird things about the Bigfoot. You know, are they just a different density being here? Are they
right
a native being? Or another fun one is that an exosuit of an alien being that can't walk on our Earth, and that's what they're using.
Interesting. And just so you guys know, during this book, they refer to the collective, all beings, all of us. They refer to that as the social memory complex.
Yes.
And the individuals are the mind, body, spirit complexes. So if you read this, you know, you'll understand what they're talking about. You'll see that a lot. They'll be like, the mind, body, spirit complex, known as J.
Needs a cheeseburger and a foot rub.
One thing that I did resonate fully with was that they had said that around the year 2012, Earth would ascend to a fourth density. This completely aligns with everything I've experienced and been taught by spirit and the Mayan calendar, too. There was supposed to be like, there's a name for it and I can't remember the name. But in 2012, when there was like a shift, an energetic cosmic shift to humanity and like massive awakenings started happening in 2012. That's when I started awakening. So that information from their channelings resonates with everything I've experienced. So I think that was absolutely true. Another theme in this book is the Confederation versus the Empire, very Star Wars type. You know, and Spirit always says that Star Wars was actually kind of a channeled series. It's one of those things that they've been using to acclimate humanity to this whole disclosure process for getting to know aliens, UFOs. It was all part of that to acclimate humans to the idea of these concepts and the reality that they're not quite aware of yet.
It backfired because they just brought us hot space babes.
Well, there probably are hot space babes. Who knows? But yeah, there's this whole major theme of the Confederation, which is the light, the Empire, which is the dark. And that also goes along with things that I've been taught by spirit as far as like the galactic councils and different things and different darker forces that we're being guarded from until we have the ability to communicate telepathically and fully embody our gifts and things like that. So going back to the Orion group, claimed that Ohio.
Same thing, Orion, Ohio, I get it.
they claimed that the Ohio, I did it again. They claimed that the Orion group's purpose is conquest and enslavement, that they harvest those in service to self. The harvest.
It's a period of judgment and separation. Entities are sorted based on their vibrational alignment. And those who have learned the lesson of density, they move on to the next level. And those do not repeat.
Yeah. And they also talked about how they basically set up an energetic spider web to catch people in it. And like once you hit that spider web, you were now their slave and you were trapped in this cycle on Earth of having to repeat lifetime after lifetime, and that allegedly when people go into the light, like they die, they have a near-death experience, whatever, they like see the light, see the tunnel. They said that that light was actually the spider web, if you will. And that if you went to the light, as soon as you touched it, you're like, nope, gotta come back. You're still ours. You didn't escape. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I don't agree with any of it.
That craps on free will at that point, because, you know, some of the reading in there, it's at the time of harvest, you get to choose. Like if you move to the next density, my understanding of free will is you now get to choose your path.
Right.
Are you of self or of others? And then, you know. And then the book even says that there are like harvest periods and that some periods there'll be no harvest because no one's ready, or there could be great harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those individual journeys. And then when you get there, you can choose to move on, stay, do what you do.
Right.
Come back to help.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about all of that. Like you said, it goes against free will. I firmly do not believe. That's one of those conspiracy theory fringe beliefs that Earth is a slave planet and blah, blah, blah. I don't on any level believe that at all. And so that's one of the main areas that this book goes against my beliefs and does not resonate with me. One of the things that Ra said was that they see us as a collective. They see humanity as a collective. They do not see us
mind-body
individual. Yeah, they don't see us as individuals. They know that we have chosen to create that distortion for ourselves where we kind of pull ourselves out as a little distortion to experience on our own. But when they're looking at humanity, they just see a sea of energy. They see humanity as a collective, which I thought was interesting. And here's what you were talking about earlier. To learn is to teach. If you don't want to or don't teach others what you've learned it in vain and you're wasting the creation of your knowledge. Like, that could be like my life theme that I could tattoo that on my body. That is.
This. That is a tramp stamp if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, sexy. To learn is to teach. Don't
what are you
waste.
Teaching?
Don't waste the creation of your knowledge. So they talked a lot about the Atlanteans, and they talked about how the Atlanteans created a planetary grid using monuments around the globe, and the pyramids were added to that grid, which I thought was interesting. I have a picture of it here. I'll insert it for you guys. They show that, you know, there's some in North America. There's some on every continent. Mm-hmm. It looks like Australia, maybe not.
Or they just haven't found it.
Maybe.
I'd be more curious if there's some in the Arctics.
Yeah, well, you know, Antarctica is a big one where they talked about the subterranean stuff. And they talked about those spider webs that a lot of them were in the caves in Antarctica. Do I remember that right?
Exactly where.
What are the Wanderers? Remind me about that.
We talked about those Wanderers. They're volunteers that come to Earth to kind of help move us to whatever density. They typically come from like the six and you know, they have that desire to serve and to help.
Okay. So I thought
I
knew that that was their purpose, but I wasn't sure like where they're from, like what's the difference between a starseed and a wanderer?
I don't know. They may be interchangeable. They could be starseeds, or perhaps they are just, they're at sixth, seventh, whatever, a higher density, and they've made the choice, I'm going to come back here to help.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, they talked about how, and this kind of resonates with what Spomi says. Spomi always says that there are only two things in existence. There is love and there is...
Dr. Pepper, I got it.
That there is either love or less love, lack of love. And, you know, I'd say, well, there's hate. And he's like, that's just less love. There's only love or less love. And Ra says that there is only either service to others or service to self, period. At all times, in every moment, you're either in service to others or service to self.
Which could be looked at as variations of love, because at sometimes you have to, you know, love yourself and service to self, but be conscious and service to others as well in the process.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you think about it, yourself is part of the collective. So like if you're in service to others, that is also service to self.
Yeah.
But if you're only in service to self and being greedy and selfish and egotistical, then you cut off the others. So that would be less love. The density cycles. One was awareness. Two was growth. Three was self-awareness. Four was love or understanding. Five was light or wisdom. Six was light love, love light, or unity. Seven was gateway. And eight was active that moves into a mystery we do not plumb. That can't be right. P-L-U-M-B?
Yeah, to dive into, it's a weird word for that. Kind of like to explore English. We have weird words. I didn't write all that down. My thoughts were, even within a singular density, there was multiple layers to that one density to even get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to really plumb the depths.
Yeah. And
I guess you'd be prepared to do that.
And I mean, if you look at our 3D, our third density environment that we live in on Earth, you can see that there are a lot of different densities and frequencies within that. There are people who are really at the low end. They are like rolling in the deep. They're rolling in the shadows. They're doing some pretty dark stuff, some pretty mean stuff, very lack of caring and love for other human beings. And then there are people who are super enlightened, do nothing but volunteer work. They're all about love and service to others. And then there are probably 100 different variations in the middle. And so you can see that in full motion here on Earth as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And each density above that is the same.
Because there was a chapter or two about healers. According to the Law of One, it is the process of realigning the mind, the body, and the spirit on a mental unity of creation. The question was, am I one of those? Because he kept asking that. Can I do that? And I get it. I would be doing the same thing.
Yeah, I do the same thing too. Every time I see something cool on TV or I see like a place or a historic event or something, I'm always like, was I there? Am I one of those? Am I one of that? I've noticed that anytime I see stuff like that, I just automatically get a yes or a no, like before I even ask. I lived so many lifetimes in France and Scotland that every time I see like a cool castle or a chateau or something, I'm like, was I ever there? Because I have like deja vu looking at it. And so now every time I see one of those, I just automatically feel like a yes or a no. And I'm like, but I get that. Like if you see something, you want to know, like, am I one of those? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, they just, it's okay. Some things you don't need to know. You want to know, but you don't need to.
Yeah, and you don't always get answers. They'll tell you if it's time and if it's necessary, if it would benefit you. One thing I will share, I don't have it here in front of me. I talked last time about our group meeting for Club Shift that we had and how Jenna had all those questions that Spomi channeled the answers to. And one of the things I will share was where she was talking about, I think it was the dark rooms of the Akashic Records. And it was about stuff that like you don't necessarily need to know yet. You don't need to be privy to this information. And then they said, and I had this exact experience for myself. They said that if and when it's time that you're ready to start receiving some of this information or learning some of this information, it's all very tightly governed by the higher councils that are in charge of basically your case. Like you have case managers, you have councils that govern what you're going to be doing. And that if and when you're ready and they don't think it will fracture you, that you can have access to that information, but it will basically be drip fed to you very slowly to see how you handle it and how it affects you. And this happened to me with that one very dark lifetime. I mean, you know about it. I don't know that I've ever said it publicly, but
stick a pin in it. You don't have to tell anybody.
But anyways, at first I was told, no, you're not allowed to know that. And I'm like, why? And he's like, might fracture you. No, don't want to undo good progress. And for years I was told, no, absolutely not. And then one time I asked again, no, I think I was watching a documentary on TV about this person, about this event or whatever. And I just got like this, like, I resonate, like it was familiar. I got like a knowing that like, here you go. And I was like, wait a minute. Are you saying that?
You're in Germany in 1930s and 40s?
Yeah, that wasn't it. But yeah, same concept. And they were like, yes. And I'm like, I'm going to need more information. And so just very slowly, dreams and more information. It was being drip fed to me over months, if not longer, to see how I handled it. And because I handled it okay, now I was allowed to have a lot more information. So yeah, they'll only tell you things if you're ready. So in summary, there were a lot of areas of this book that we both really resonated with, that we do agree with. And there were some areas that we aren't too sure about. For me, there were a few areas that like, I'm like, I just really, that doesn't resonate as truth with me. But you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. As I discussed earlier, education for education's sake is a good thing. When we have knowledge, we have power. And the more we know, the better we are as human beings. And so don't hesitate to go learn this material and see for yourself what you think of it. Does it resonate with you? If so, incorporate this information into your life. But thanks for hanging out with us in our little book club and listening to our chit chat about the Law of One, the raw material.
Want us to review more books? Pick one that's not putting me to sleep in the morning, please.
Yeah, we are happy to listen to any of the spiritual type of books that you send us. Here's the criteria. It can't be like 5,000 volumes long. It needs to be digestible, like a normal size book. Two, it has to come in audiobook. Because we both got a lot going on. It's easier to listen than it is to sit down and read. So audiobook, as long as it comes in an audiobook and it is a normal size book, we are happy to dive in and read it and then chat about it afterwards. And you can also let us know what you think of it. And that way we can incorporate your thoughts in here. Or if you pick a good one, maybe if you're wanting to or willing to, you would be able to come on and talk about it with us.
Send it as we pick it apart in front of you.
Right. You can't have your feelings hurt if we're like, I don't really like it. But yeah, we would love to hear your suggestions and we will be happy to cover more books. Let us know. All right, Jay.
All right. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.